What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is a new episode of Video Game Bang, and I just realized it is the love show. It's 420, everybody. Hey, you like that, kids?
You just gave me an existential crisis, because I was like, holy shit, did I miss work today? Is today Wednesday?
Oh, man, I can't even keep the days straight anymore. Sorry. Go ahead, David.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to... I can't. Hey, everybody. New show. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
I don't know how to follow that. Corey Vincent, everybody.
Hey, it's 420, everybody. What do you guys think, kids? Easter's tomorrow, awful. Man. Easter Bunny's coming.
They did a helicopter egg drop.
What?
Near us.
That seems violent and scary.
It does. I had somewhere to be. Otherwise, I was just stick around just to see.
Helicopter,
it's raining eggs.
Helicopter egg drop sounds like the most unfortunate sex position.
That's horrible. Were they like real eggs? Are they just like dropping eggs? Is it egging everybody's house from above?
The amount of information I have was on the banner I saw.
I don't know what's crazier, words drop. Jumbled together. Helicopter egg drop, or today I did a Amish ear candle.
Ooh,
yeah, I saw that picture. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's called an Amish ear candle. Another sex position. But this thing, it's like it's like a size of a ruler. You jam it in your ear.
Okay.
And you light the end on fire.
Oh, shit. Why? I actually have heard of this.
Because I guess it pulls earwax out of your ear.
No,
I don't
know. What you do, you take a Q-tip.
Did Gwyneth Paltrow tell you this?
Oh, Sam. Yikes. Coming in with the spicy chicken strips. Emma Skies.
I don't like spicy things.
I know, but it was a spicy comment. You have chicken strips. Spicy chicken strips. Boom. Curtis is here.
Curtis is here. His voice is not 100% here, but I'm going to do my best. I could miss this one. We got an interesting conversation.
We do.
This is web talks.
Hashtag web talks.
I hijacked the beginning of it, but we were telling, it is obviously 420, and we were talking about like Snoop Dogg memes and stuff, and then Curtis kind of just says out of nowhere, I hung out with Snoop Dogg, but I didn't smoke his weed though. and then he started to tell the story, but I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
We have to hear it now. Wait, so how did you end up meeting Snoop Dogg?
Now I gotta take the cork back out of the genie lamp. All right. So I was around the time before the Black Eyed Peas thing. We were managing artists, and we had a few producers and artists that we were managing. Me and Malik.
Okay.
Right? Malik, special guest on here sometimes.
Yeah.
So we got a call from Snoop Dogg's manager. At the time, his name was something Chung, but he was like, hey, yeah, Snoop wants to buy a beat. You know, y'all gotta come down. So we were like, all right. So we went down, and this was right around the time everybody remember Sensual Seduction or Sexual Eruption. I'm gonna take my time. Yeah. When Snoop was doing all that. So it was around that time. So we went down, and they were like, hey, Snoop's getting ready to perform at House of Blues. So come down to the rehearsal place. So we drive to some odd place in North Hollywood. It was rickety old. It looked like an old electronics repair place.
Yeah.
It was like every shady ass thing in North Hollywood.
Pretty much, more or less. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we approach with caution, and some dude comes out and like takes us through the back door. And even when you walk through, it looks like an old high school with like cobwebs and like chairs upside down on desks. It just looked weird. And then finally, we go to the back, and it's like. And it's not nice inside, but it's like a big rehearsal space. Snoop's on the stage with the band. And they actually rehearsing the Sexual Seduction song. So we're up there. We're talking to one of his other producers. Oh, not Battle Cat. I forget the dude's name. He's from the Dog Pound, though. And like I like the Dog Pound. So I see Corrupt in there. I see Daz Dillinger in there. I'm like, oh, man. Like, you know, not only do I see Snoop, I see like my other rappers that I like.
So do you have a suitcase with your beats in it?
So
when you want to buy a beat, you don't just email somebody something. You have to drive to the back of a school and
so remember this
present
was,
your beats to him.
Alpha David.
I immediately thought of a suitcase with a bunch of headphones in there. And I was like, oh wait, no,
Beats.
That's
yeah, Beats didn't exist.
They were the other end of Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was over a decade. At this point is over a decade.
Long before
ago.
Beats by Dre.
Long
yeah.
Before Beats.
And yeah, like, you know, you didn't have to, but that's kind of how, you know, especially back then, it's still how they worked. It was still like handshake type deals, and people wanted to put a name to the face, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Get to know you. And they wanted to hear some more, you know, like, hey, we like this one. Y'all got more. We could have emailed him, but we drove down.
Nice.
And we're up in there, and they're doing it. And then finally, Snoop, you know, he's done. He comes off stage, and he's walking up, and, you know, he's Snoop. What up, nephew? You know, so I heard y'all had some beats. Heard y'all had some heat. You know, let me hear it. You know, and we're like, all right, cool. We're going to go back to the studio. Snoop be like, yeah. Hey, cuz, you want to hit this? You know, and like, our producer didn't smoke. He's like this straight-laced Christian dude. Like, he didn't do nothing. I don't even know if he drank Pepsi.
Dang.
Me and Leek did smoke at the time, and I knew Leek wanted to do it. But I looked at him like, nah, bro, you know, like, don't do it. And I was trying to be professional. I didn't, you know.
Yeah,
and plus,
yeah,
it's Snoop's weed. I'm about to be high out of my mind and sell the beat for a dollar. You know what I mean? Like, bro, I'm not trying to take no losses. So I'm like, I appreciate it, Uncle Snoop. I'm a pass right now. And I think I broke the deal right there. Because Snoop was like, you know, basically in his mind, he's like, oh, this fool ain't going to smoke my weed. I ain't gonna buy his beat.
So it didn't happen. The deal didn't go down.
I mean, make a long story short, nah. But we got it. We got to see Snoop Dogg for free at the House of Blues. Yeah. We didn't expect that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, the lesson here is that if Snoop Dogg offers you weed, just do it.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Just smoke weed, everybody.
Pretty much. It's initiation.
That's a message for the kids.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
What do you think, kids? I still want to know how these kids keep getting in the studio. It's not that big of a studio. We have three guard dogs. How are they getting by?
The little birds.
Got to beef up BGB security.
Yeah. All right, so tonight we are doing another web talk. And much like we did with Bang of Thrones, I still feel weird saying that, episode 0, where we talked about where everybody was, what happened throughout the seasons, where we're at now going into the final season. We're going to do that for the MCU going into Endgame this week.
I'm so
because
excited.
Endgame is dropping Thursday night, have my tickets.
I'm
so happy. I'm behind on my watch.
Today was homecoming.
Today was homecoming. I stopped to watch Strange, Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange, Guardians 2, Homecoming.
Okay.
What's the rewatch like compared to Game of Thrones? I assume it'd be like, are just as many connections being made, or is it just like what? I feel like without watching all these, I could still recall enough of it. It doesn't seem like you really need to rewatch it.
It's definitely not something that you need to do. Like Game of Thrones, you need to do this.
Yeah.
But it's just fun to do.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't have like all the intricate political connections that span from like going all the way back to the beginning, and now they're like we're just starting to see the fruits of it. It's like it's not quite like that.
It's just like, oh cool, this is gonna be neat. I'm watching all of them, and then like I'm gonna end with Endgame. So tonight we're gonna talk about the past 10 years of the MCU.
Golly.
Where it started. We're not going to go too much into where we want it to go in the next phase, just because we already did an episode on that. So this is basically going to be like from past to present. No future.
So 10 years.
10 years.
Fucking hell.
11.
11 years.
How old were you, Emma, when the first one came out?
14. 2008 was Iron Man. Yeah. And
did you have any clue? Like, what was your interest in that movie? Like, your dad was pretty nerdy,
movies.
Right?
Yeah, I liked superhero movies. I was, like, already into that. I liked the comic book storylines, even though that wasn't really something that we had as far as, like, pop culturally. So I was really excited for it. I really liked Iron Man. Went and saw it in theaters. Was very excited for it. And that was one of those things where, like, you went and saw it, and you're just like, ah, that was a really cool movie. I wish we kind of had more stuff like that.
Did you see the band?
Little did she know.
Okay. Because, so I remember seeing it, and, like, I grew up watching the cartoon, and, like, I love that cartoon, and in the cartoon, he had a briefcase, which is why I think I like Iron Man 2 a lot,
because
he had the briefcase, and I remember, like, so 2008, I was 19, so, like, you know, I wasn't, like, a kid necessarily, but I was still, like, you know, I was kiddish, but I remember Iron Man 2, and, like, that scene where they give him the briefcase. Not even when they give him the briefcase, but when you first see it, I'm like, the briefcase suit. They did the briefcase suit. But more importantly, going back, Iron Man 1, when you when you like you watch it, like this is awesome, this is so cool, and then like at the very end, like they just so happy to stay to the very end because like I'm gonna wait till everybody gets out of the theater before I try to get out. Mm-hmm. And you have Nick Fury, I'm like, oh, that's cool. They put Fury in the Avenger. We're gonna do the Avengers.
Yeah, that was like, see, we were different ages of like when we were 19 and this stuff's happening. Emma's 14. That's a world of difference.
Yeah.
For like people. So, and you have people even younger than her.
Oh, yeah.
Like who were just getting, it was like one of their, this is the first movie my dad took me to. Or, you know, so like yeah. These movies are affecting all these generations. And we all have this one thing in common, kind of.
There right. are kids who could go see Endgame who weren't alive when Iron Man came out.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Damn.
And understand it.
Totally.
Yeah. The first time I saw Iron Man was a bootleg version with our social media guy, Jake. A long time ago. Yeah. We were just visiting.
He's going to rat him out.
Yeah, yeah. Get him.
He's in Fresno. No one wants to go to
yeah,
Fresno.
Yeah, he's in Fresno. Right, he's fine. I don't think the law exists over there. But he, I went to his house and... it was a little apartment that he had, and it was yeah. just like a little TV sitting on a box, and like he was wanting to entertain his house guests. You know, we were probably his first ones, and he's like, I got this this bootleg of Iron Man movie, and I was like, sick, okay, let's watch it. And it was people standing up in the middle of it, like it was that level of bootleg.
Oh, no.
But, like, we were both thoroughly, like, entertained, yeah. and not, we weren't watching it ironically, like,
right.
we were just watching, it just happened to be bootleg.
Yeah.
Good fucking movie, and then movie. I paid for everyone since.
Yeah.
That's
it's such a good... Oh, man.
It was such a good start. And, like, I feel like it always gets overlooked what a good villain Obadiah is.
Yeah.
Because I watched it again, and I was like, damn, I feel like whenever I talk about MCU villains, like, Obadiah gets passed over. But, like, damn.
He was a good villain, yeah.
He's the dude, man.
And I like that he even, like, he has that line where he calls out, you know, we're ironmongers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And, I'm like, of course, I didn't fucking know what that meant. I was just like, oh, cool. Interesting word.
I remember going... like that's something. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, man, for me it was a trip. I remember, yeah, I'm the oldest one here, so I remember watching like the B movie Captain America, which like was terrible.
I've seen clips of that.
I'm just yeah. thinking
Shield
of like
clear?
Huh? The Shield, like at some points, no, it wasn't even consistently. It wasn't the same consistency. There was a yeah. few scenes where it was clear.
Was it clear? Yeah.
The way that you phrase that, I'm just thinking of the Jerry Seinfeld B movie, but just Captain America.
It is. It was like one of those low budget. It was like I think Canon Films had produced it, you know, and they yeah. what's the deal with Canon?
Hydra.
Okay. Yeah, and they, you know, so I remember seeing that. I remember the David Hasselhoff Nick Fury movie. I remember watching the
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that terrible thing. And even the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie.
Oh, yes, oh. That one I know. Yeah. That one I know.
So I seen those. Obviously I watched because my uncle liked the Lou Ferrigno Incredible Hulk, so I grew up watching that, and then I'd even, you know, seen the Japanese Spider-Man.
There's Ooh. A Japanese Spider-Man?
Yikes.
Yeah. It's funny, but you know, so when you watch him as a cartoon and then you see him in the movies, like it's not dope, but you're like, at least I get to see that. So all that, and then I you know, and then Blade came out, and everybody forgets that Blade's not MCU, but Blade was the first Marvel movie
right.
that
yeah.
got That's a decent right. budget and yeah. that did really well
and had sequels.
Yeah, and that blew my mind because I was like, wow, y'all picked Blade to do it? Like, no one knows who Blade is. I never read a Blade comic book. I only saw him on the Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, that's where
and
I
he
knew
was,
him from.
Yeah, and he was dope. But yeah. I was like, wow, they did it, and it's successful.
Well, and mm-hmm. that's how we got, like, in a way, that's how we got Deadpool.
Yeah.
With him on the set, and he basically was Deadpool.
Well, in X-Men he was Deadpool. In the Blade movie, he was a loudmouth.
He was Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea what you're saying. Like it's just his personality.
It's just his personality. Yeah. But and then he had swords, and that's what started. Like somebody, like True. I saw an interview where he said, like that's where somebody approached me about possibly doing a Deadpool movie at some point.
Okay, and that makes like, sense. Yeah, because he went from that, and then after that X-Men, then he did X-Men,
which,
where he was
talk about that.
Actually
he was Wade, Weapon X.
Yeah.
Wade but, Wilson.
Ooh, that's
imagine,
one we...
I just want to, oh God, we won't get into that because it's like a whole thing.
It's a merc with the mouth and he's right, he has no like, mouth.
Okay. I want to be a fly on the wall of the conversation in the writer's room where they're going to take Wade Wilson
yeah.
and take away his mouth.
Yeah, the most iconic thing about him.
I think it was for the whole yeah. scene for what's his name to get the line that said, oh, I guess they finally found a way to shut you up, Wade.
That was the whole reason. That was the whole payoff. Reason.
That was the payoff.
Yeah, for that one line.
So yeah, we started off with really, really strong with Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've talked before, like they were taking a chance on RDJ. Like it was a whole, you know, we don't know if this is going to go anywhere, and now it's exploded. So the first phase, so they're all like phases. So phase one was Iron Man, the Incredible Hulk, which is canon. Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, and the Avengers.
Which up until this rewatch, I didn't realize that the Incredible Hulk was technically. Like, I thought they just adopted it into the MCU because mm-hmm. they needed a Hulk. No. But no, it's it was, Marvel Studios.
Yeah. yeah.
It was supposed to be, what's his name in the Avengers movie?
Edward Norton.
Edward Norton, but he did the actor thing.
Well, this is one of those, like, you just hear rumors. I heard he's, like, a nightmare to work with.
I could see that.
And, like, nobody wanted him back.
I
which just sucks because I like Edward Norton.
I like
yeah, it. He's one of my favorite actors, actually.
And I heard that and I was like, oh, I hope that's not true. Yeah.
American History X is one of the most
God, that movie.
Moving and disturbing things I've ever seen. That's, and him yeah. and Eddie Furlong, incredible performances in that movie.
I saw that movie my senior year in high school and in sociology.
Yeah.
And that movie has stuck with me
yeah.
since then. Like, you can't unsee the things in that movie. Nah,
not in that movie.
I think him with he got the trifecta in my heart with that Fight Club and...
I've still never seen Fight Club.
Ooh, Fight Club. That's one of my favorite.
I know. Top I've had five it, movies I've had ever. It for forever and it's always so one of those good. Like, one of these days.
Top and five. Then, what was it? Death to Smoochie. I really love that movie.
Yo, that's low key. A lot of people don't understand like the quality and the greatness behind that movie. That movie was very layered.
Robin Williams just thrown. Yeah, it was great.
No, before we get Italian Job?
That's a good one. But before we get too off topic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We gotta get back to the Avengers. It's 4:20. We need to stay on topic.
Back to Bruce Banner.
Yes.
But yeah, so technically that one is canon. There are scenes from it in the Avengers. General Ross obviously carries over. Yep. Like it's a whole thing.
Thunderbolt Ross.
But I don't. And, like, I was bummed about losing Edward Norton, and then I feel like every time, not that I do it much, because I only do it really for these rewatches, but every time that I rewatch that movie, I'm like, I don't miss Liv Tyler.
I don't. Oh, my God.
I hated her in that movie. Like, take a breath, woman.
Yeah. Why are you always out of breath when you talk? Like, just, it's weird.
I liked her in that one where everybody disappears, the one I think you were saying you were watching, Emma.
Leftovers?
Yeah, Leftovers.
Was she in that?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even remember.
Yeah, she whispered in that.
She's
too.
Great in that too.
She whispered.
She doesn't talk. She joins like a cult of people who don't talk. Anyways,
oh, that's right. We're getting
super deep.
Anyway. But yeah, so that was phase one. It all came together. At some point, they decided when they were making the Avengers that they were going to recast as Mark Ruffalo and never address it in any real way, which is, you know, fine. I guess if you're going to do it, that's how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But like never address the story really. Like Betty never comes back up.
Nope.
Is never addressed in any way.
Nope.
Except we'll talk about her a little bit later.
Well, he saw Nat and he was like, Betty who?
Yeah.
Apparently, because that fucking makes sense.
Doing my rewatch, I remember seeing Thor for the first time and Thor was like, I was like, oh, wow, this is like really good. But rewatching it, I haven't even gotten to Ragnarok yet, but I comparatively, how kind of dull the Thor 1 and 2 were.
They had zero personality.
There was zero personality in it. What
I liked about it was the look of it. Like, I liked Kenneth Branagh as the director for that movie, but like, Thor was like a kind of whatever character.
Yeah. He was an Avenger, so we had to have him. And then,
like, it was a little bit silly. It was a little bit whatever, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Iron Man.
It wasn't Iron Man. Yeah. It wasn't like any of the other Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I think he,
Up until
Ragnarok, he shined more in that Avengers movie than just about anything before that.
Every Avengers movie, he shined a lot better. I mean, he had good one-liners and stuff like that, but, and then he'd have his own movie and it was back to like stoic Thor.
Yeah. That's honestly though, that's just kind of how Thor is, period. Like, even in the comic, Thor is a specific type of character. You either kind of take it or leave it. Like, honestly, Ragnarok, if you, like, Ragnarok ain't like none of the Thor comics. And I love it.
They had to,
I love
change it, make him likable.
Totally. Yeah. And they highlighted Chris Hemsworth's, like, like, I mean, those are his strengths. People didn't know how funny he was really until, you know, like the Ghostbusters thing and that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they highlighted, but I mean, but if you read the comics, I'm not saying Thor doesn't have good stories. There's some Thor comics I love, but that's kind of, it's Norse mythology.
Yeah, it's serious. It's Vikings. It's serious.
Right.
It's not,
you have to go across the Rainbow Bridge. Happy you know, my father is Odin. It's
now,
like very...
now, I'll be honest with you. I like all the Thor movies. Yeah. I like all of them.
Yeah. No, I don't dislike them.
Yeah.
I dislike the Dark World.
But
we'll get there.
We're almost there. Yeah. Yeah. I'm aggressively neutral towards them.
Makes sense.
And then for me, Captain America was one that I was the opposite. I watched it in theaters and I didn't love it.
Okay.
I was like, I don't really like this. But now on my rewatches, I fucking love it. Because, like, it was, like, too cheesy. I didn't, like, you know, it wasn't, like, campy funny, but it was, like, campy cheesy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Very, like, very all-American boy next door. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not about this. This is really, like, whatever. Yeah. But the more I watched it, the more I love it. And I just, like, oh, Peggy Carter. Peggy Carter. Peggy deserved better. Peggy. Her show deserved better.
Yeah, it
oh,
did.
Oh, yeah, she had a
it
show.
Did. I watched as much as I could. The first time watching Cap 1, I did like it a lot. I didn't love it, but I did like it a lot. I like the cheesy, all good old. Yeah, I'm just, and that's what Cap was like when I was growing. Like, we didn't get none of this, you know, Captain Steve Rogers, or I'm bucking the government. We didn't get none of that yet, which I like that stuff too.
No Nomad.
No, we didn't none of that yet. So I was like, you know, okay, I could deal. But you're right. After I watched it again out of the theaters, it felt almost like Three Musketeers kind of style, kind of. I don't know. It felt more swashbuckling when I got out of the theaters, and then I kind of tended to like it more. It reminded me almost of like The Rocketeer. I don't know if any of y'all.
Yeah, I remember The Rocketeer.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me.
Deep cut.
Yeah. It gave me that feel for sure.
I liked it, but it was more in the sense of like I was like, okay, cool. Like, we're like, okay, now we have everybody together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Avengers is coming up next. Yeah. Like, let's do this.
Yeah, so phase one ends with Avengers, where we have Loki as the visible villain, but obviously working for some entity, which at the time we didn't know. They never really explain, I don't think, that Chitauri leader and, like, what his deal is with Thanos and everything.
No, we never
know. But, like,
know.
He's just kind of there as, like, the intermediary.
They didn't, because he was supposed to be, essentially, he was supposed to be Corvus Glaive. Who we got
we
in the Black Order.
I thought that. This rewatch, I was like, I wonder if that's who he's supposed to be, because he kind of looks like him.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was, but they obviously they used him as a prop. Mm-hmm. You could tell that even at that time, and I think even in an interview, they kind of let the cat out the bag that they didn't know Thanos was going to be the big bad yet.
Yeah,
and Joss Whedon or Whedon, however you say his name, he just wanted to put him in there at the end. And then they ended up building towards it. So they never did explain the Chitauri leader, because it was kind of that was one of the Marvel fumbles.
Yeah, and like the Chitauri were like the one and done, but they were like, they were the intermediary between us and Thanos. And so that is where we get our first look at Thanos at the very end of the last credit scene where, like, he turns, you get that profile of his face. And that's our first look at Thanos back in 2011, 2012?
Yeah, 2012.
So then we get into phase two, which was Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Captain America the Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. Man, that was a slump when you look at it on the, I don't know, I feel like if you look at it from a bird's eye view, it started really bad.
Because it started with Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that movie.
Which we talked about. It's one of my least favorites. And, like, I feel even more sure of it on my rewatch that I just
said.
Oh,
yeah, because you just rewatched it recently.
Yeah, like, it's just a completely throwaway movie.
It doesn't contribute anything. Because,
no, absolutely not.
Because, like, the only things it contributes, like, you can argue they either retcon or they do it in a different way later on. So we have, like, all of the suits. Oh, well, that's where they established the Iron Legion. No. They destroy all of them. He rebuilds it for
Age of Ultron. Yeah,
yeah, and then like, oh well, like he gets his arc reactor removed.
Oh, yeah.
And then they retcon that in Infinity
War.
He puts it back in. Like,
wait. No, he didn't put it back in. Remember, he said it's a housing unit for nanites.
Yeah, but I think it's still part of him. Though.
I think
like
it's
not.
She said, "Why? Then why did you get that installed again?"
Because
she makes
the whole
a comment about
it
being back in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like the whole point of it is so he's never without the suit. So it's not, as far as I understand, because I was actually talking with somebody else about this. And I'm like, as far as we can tell, it's not a wearable unit. It's something that's in him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like the same thing. It's just not for his health anymore. It houses the suit.
Yeah.
So yeah, they got his arc reactor out. Yeah. They put it back in. They gave Pepper Extremis. They took it away 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
They put in the Iron Legion. They destroyed it. Like, and then I was watching it. Like, this movie is a collection of really cool scenes that add up to nothing.
Nothing. Yep.
Because
yeah.
I love the plane rescue scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was really good.
With
holding all the people as they're going down. That was dope. And we got Iron Patriot.
Yeah, the Iron Patriot.
It wasn't the right Iron Patriot, but we got it.
It was something.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of really cool scenes and a lot of really good directed scenes that add up to nothing.
Yeah.
Disappointing villain.
Disappointing.
Oh my God.
Talk about subverting expectations. That's another time
that
where
was,
it's just like
an interesting way for them to go to, because like the Mandarin isn't, it's hard, I think, to do that character non-offensively.
Yeah. Well, because it's the same thing when you knew like about Doctor Strange. And we're like, how are they going to do the ancient one without being offensive?
Well, and without pissing off China, which was the
without
whole thing.
Without pissing off China, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say it would be more offensive, but they took a character named the Mandarin that had nothing to do with Asian culture almost at all.
Yeah.
And then they faked it out.
Yeah.
I think, to me, over a misuse of the Mandarin, it was a misuse of Ben Kingsley. I think such a high class level actor, I think they could have utilized him so much.
And at
much
that
better.
Point where like you realize there's not really a great way to do this character either way,
just
choose a different one.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I don't even do the bait and switch. Like, you know, do something else. It just didn't amount to everything. And the only reason why I made over $1 billion is because it was the first movie after Avengers.
Yeah.
I think with the bait and switch, it's like when April Fool's comes around and a company who's kind of lame comes up with something that's awesome, and you're like, oh, well, this would be cool if you did it for real instead of like on April Fool's
instead
and
of,
get our expectations up over this stupid bull. Like, you gotta go the other way with your okie dokes.
Yeah,
like, you know, where people walk away more satisfied. Don't take something that's so built up and hype and then turn it into a joke.
Totally. Yeah. Like, it would have been dope to me if they would have made it look like Aldrich Killian was the villain from the gate, because they planted the seed, and then the lady that Tony was working with, I know she ended up working with them, but if she was,
she
the,
was
villain,
the villain, yeah,
that would have been way dope. And maybe she was the Mandarin, you know, maybe she was Asian American, you know, like, hey,
there's ways to do it.
I think like anything besides what they did do.
So Iron Man 3 really had no effect on the overall story. So we go
hang on. So if you want to count the entire MCU and include the TV shows in it, Extremis was a huge story arc in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I didn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was.
Huge story arc.
So they drug the worst movie out even further through into the TV show?
Well, Extremis wasn't bad, but yeah, it was.
So we went from Iron Man 3 to Thor the Dark World, which is kind of lauded as one of the worst in the MCU.
Yeah. We got Zachary Levi, though.
We did get Zachary Levi. The only good thing that movie gave us was Zachary Levi in the MCU. And then they
killed
him.
Hold on, wait. We got Sif, too.
She was already in it. She was in the first one.
Oh, she was. Oh, that's right. Not the characters, but the actual actor, Zachary. Yeah, because he took over for the first Fandral.
Fandral. The fencing dude.
We got Thor the Dark World, which, again, was like, the only thing we got out of it that really had any meaning was the Reality Stone, which is not ever explored as the Reality Stone in any way.
Kind of. Yeah, actually, there's a scene where when...
Like, he talks about the Infinity Stones.
He talks about
the
Infinity
Stones,
and he talks about how, like, all of them appear in stone shape except for this one that appears in a liquid state. So
I don't remember that.
It's right when... So it's after he brings Jane there, and, like, he's like, take her away, and...
They're talking with, like, the Tree of the World above
Yeah, they're
in
walking
room.
Into where the Tree of the World is, and he's explaining... He's like, there are six... There are, you know, artifacts that predate time.
Yeah.
There are six main ones. All of them appear as stones, except for this one that appears as a liquid and is in her.
Yeah. So, like, the Reality Stone is the only thing we get out of that movie that means anything. And, like, you could put that anywhere else.
The Collector, too.
Yeah.
Is he? Oh, he is in the credit scene of
which
that.
Which is how he gets the reality gem.
Yeah,
which
was
then
from Thor the Dark World.
Doesn't even pay off until Infinity War. And I was just like, wait, okay, so I guess they just left that part out of him getting it. And then during my rewatch, I'm like, oh, now it makes sense. That's why Thanos went to go to nowhere to get that.
Yep.
I think Guardians is obviously the highlight of that.
Oh,
phase,
excuse me?
What else came out?
Winter Soldier?
Nah, Guardians
easily the highlight of Phase 2.
Wait a minute. Are we going to put Guardians versus Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier.
That half-ass sequel.
Is a better movie.
Whoa.
What are you talking about?
Yes. Okay, let's flip the table on three.
One,
two, three.
Whoa. See, I don't know. They are both great movies.
They're both excellent.
They're both very good.
I definitely like Guardians. No.
Okay, I like them both for different
reasons. You're entitled to your bad opinion. Hey. No?
I believe that you believe that.
I'm going to say something probably even more controversial. I don't think Guardians is as good as everybody thinks it is.
All right,
says it
now
was.
Everybody flip the table.
I'll be honest. And I like Guardians. I like it a lot. I think it's a little overhyped.
I
can see that.
I disagree.
It's a little bit.
I think it's really, really good, but I think people like completely fell over themselves praising it. I was like, all right, tone it down.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah, but let's tone it down.
Absolutely. It's funny though. I think it was one of the first movies that was as funny, because before that, the only funny movies we had were Iron Man.
Yeah.
And we didn't have one for years before, because Iron Man 3 was.
Yeah. It was very different. And it was edgy too. And I think that was the other, like, as different of a comic book movie as Winter Soldier was, Guardians took it all the way kind of in another direction.
Yeah.
And I think Guardians was just so modern and so much of the times that it hit people the right way. And I still think it's quality and just shows you how in tune James Gunn was. But I'm also a little concerned because, well, we didn't get there yet. We'll keep going.
Yeah.
Volume 2, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So Guardians, unlike the other ones, like, really did have a lot of payoff.
That's absolutely
where we really got to look at what Infinity Stones can do with Power Stone.
Yeah, Power Stone. Yeah, you got it.
I was like, pretty sure that's what that one was. So that had a lot of payoff. We skipped over the Winter Soldier because somebody.
Sorry, let's go back.
Also had a lot of payoff because we get an entirely new look at the Cap that we're gonna see for the rest of the Infinity Saga.
Okay. Yeah,
and how he starts to not so much be the patriotic boy next door anymore, starts to question things, starts to, you know, he heads down that path that's going to take him to civil war with Bucky.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That whole movie just makes me cry. When he pulls off the mask and he's like, Bucky? And he goes, who's Bucky? I'm just crying on the couch.
I loved it.
Or when they're in the crashing helicarrier, he's like, I'm with you to the end of the line.
Yeah. That's what got me. When he did that one, they just started flowing. I was like, come on, bruh. You can't do that to me, mate. I ain't supposed to cry in comic book movies.
We can put the couch cushions on the floor like when we were kids.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You guys are suckers.
We've talked, or I've talked a lot about, like, I really don't like the characterization of Black Widow. And I think this was the Russo brothers trying to fix a lot of the damage that Whedon had done to her.
Totally.
Yeah, because she was
really good in this. She was good in this. Mm-hmm. And then Age of Ultron came out and Whedon was like, fuck y'all.
Yeah. I liked
well,
her.
Technically Favreau too, right? Because that's where she first
started. Yeah. And that was a huge problem. So, like, the Russo brothers were trying to fix some of the damage that had been done to her character, and I appreciated that from them, and then it was kind of all for nothing in the end.
I like the relationship between her and Cap in there. Like, very much like best friends. And, like, chilling, like, going on this adventure. And, like, the whole time, she's trying to set him up with somebody. Like, even, like, up to the point to where they push the guy off the building, like, right before Falcon makes his grand entrance. She's like, what about Sue in accounting? Oh, yeah, the blonde?
With the lip piercing?
Oh, with the lip piercing? I'm not ready.
Complete the mission. Then find me a date.
Yeah.
I love it. And, like,
And then with the Majorian star. Or
and we got Batroc.
We
got Batroc.
And, like, 20 seconds.
True. But you know what? But it was JP, what's this dude? GSP?
Oh, George St. Pierre.
Yeah. And I mean, he turned out to be really good. He's an actual martial artist. Mm. He was able to totally sell it.
He's actually French.
Yeah. And Batroc is easily one of the most, you can screw Batroc up so easy. So when the Russo brothers put Batroc in and for people don't know how goofy he is, how, like, he only kicks. He does that French version of, like, Taekwondo or whatever.
Oh, okay.
He literally leaps. He's Batroc the Leaper. So for us to get him in a way where people didn't laugh their face off when they saw him, I was like, these Russo brothers, they're on to something.
Yeah, we should keep our eyes on these guys.
And that fight scene, like, where, like, they just look at each other and he goes, puts a shield on, takes off the helmet and drops it. I was like, oh shit, Cap's getting real. Yeah. Cap just put his hair in a ponytail and had someone hold his earrings. He's ready.
So Winter Soldier had a lot of payoff in the future. Guardians of the Galaxy obviously had a lot of payoff in the future. Yep. And that takes us to Age of Ultron, mm-hmm. which is a fucking mess.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of payoff, yeah. but a fucking mess. The only thing, I actually just wrote notes on this because I was like trying to think, oh, actually, I don't have them anymore. But I was like, what did we get out of this movie? Like, the pros and the cons of this movie. Like, the pros is, like, mm-hmm. we got Vision.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We got Wanda.
And
Scarlet Witch.
A version of Scarlet Witch.
We got a version of Scarlet Witch. I was like, we got Nerfed. Vision, yeah. question mark for everything else. And it was like, cons, here's all the things that were wrong with this movie. Like,
well, okay, so the big things for me that were wrong with the movie were it was a weird, out of the blue, forced Bruce and Nat.
That was super yeah. weird.
That was, it was like, out, I was like, where did this come from? It made me question, did I miss something right. in all these other movies?
Because the only interaction we'd seen before was him fucking terrifying her.
Yeah, in Avengers.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, oh, yeah, okay. And then,
like, the whole lullaby thing.
The lullaby thing, that was super random.
Because there's no, as far as I could tell, there's no basis for that in the comics. Like, no, there's nobody that can, like, walk up to the Hulk yeah. and calm him down.
The weird, the really super cringy, like, I can't have kids thing.
Right.
And then just the dis, like, the horrible way that they did Ultron. Like, just, like, minimized Ultron so much from what he actually is in the comics.
We want to talk about minimizing a character. Let's talk about motherfucking Wanda Maximoff.
Well, yeah, that's another character that's completely nerfed. But, like, she has to be nerfed for it to make sense to the average comic book goer.
They just ruined her. And if you're going to ruin her, don't use
put her.
Don't
put her in there. And that's
or the wait is, until you can use her properly. Because they acknowledge when What's-Her-Face is explaining their powers about the Maximoff twins, and Wanda is said to have telekinesis and mental manipulation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is it. That is the entirety of her character. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
This is hashtag not my Scarlet Witch.
And then when he was like, huh? He runs really fast and she's weird.
Yeah, she's weird is what we got for her.
They'll make all this shit clear on WandaVision. Don't worry.
That is the worst name I've ever heard in my life.
What? No.
Could not have spent less time coming up with a name for that show.
Okay.
It's actually misleading.
Here's what WandaVision actually is. Are you ready? It's a remote control that's shaped like a wand, so you can WandaVision and change the channel.
That would be a better idea.
Disgust me.
It's a better idea, though, than
it
the
seems
TV
like
show.
It seems like those two are going to have like a stage comedy show. Like WandaVision, and it's, you know, there's got magic, and it's like on one set, you know,
variety show.
Yeah, variety show. Johnny and Marie, WandaVision.
The whole since they couldn't do anything with mutants, it was
right. Like you can't even use them.
Yeah,
and that was like
kill Quicksilver right off the bat.
Right, you're gonna introduce Quicksilver and then kill him as fast as you bring him in, and that's what pissed me off, because I was watching that movie and I watched him die, and I was like, oh, that's super upsetting, but like. He's going to be back in a second because she's just gonna resurrect him. No, yeah. She's not.
Nope.
No, she's not.
Now, interesting enough, though.
Because that would break the rest of the movies.
That is one death that didn't get reversed in the movies. So, I mean, as much as people talk about, you know, oh, they die and they just come back, they didn't bring back Quicksilver. I mean, I'm just going to give them credit where credit's due. My biggest thing, actually... Well, I don't want to say my biggest thing, but the thing that stuck out the most to me, because when the trailers came out and you heard James Spader do Ultron,
the Pinocchio thing.
Yeah, his tone of voice, the way that he was talking and everything was close to Ultron, but it was very menacing at the very least. But then when you go into the movie, he's like
quippy.
Yeah.
Witty. Yeah.
He
sounds
way
like Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's way too human.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's where you guys fundamentally messed up. I almost felt like they got all of those takes from him, and part of like the whole hack job with, you know, with the executive producers coming in and, you know, meddling too much with all the product placement and ads and all that was that as well. They were like, I think, because you know James Spader and you know how like menacing he can be. You watched
The Office. It's fucking creepy in The Office.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
That's not where he's creepy. What was that other
Robert
show?
Robert California.
The Blacklist.
The Blacklist,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, we're going to get that. And then I think they came in and they were like, okay, he did too good of a job. This is too scary. And all of the moms that are bringing their, you know, kids to see this, it's going to freak them out. Can we make him more funny? And then when they went back and did the reshoots, they got a bunch of that crap.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of bad out of Age of Ultron. But at the very, like, the silver lining, I think, of this movie is everybody at Marvel kind of went, maybe we shouldn't use Joss Whedon anymore.
Is that when it started happening?
Because I think it's the last one he did.
It was. I think he left because
that's
remember
fine, whatever
they,
it was.
They signed him up for more movies. And remember, they put him in after he did Avengers. They said he's in charge of the MCU thing. Mm. That all happened. Right. He bounced. He was like, "Y'all mess with my movie too much." And like, you know, to your point, not many people were like, "Oh." So, and then the Russos ended up taking over.
Wait, come back.
But remember, originally he was supposed to do Avengers 3 and 4 as well because of how much money he made off the first
one. Imagine Joss Whedon's Infinity War?
I can't. And honestly, not just because of how I feel about some of the things he's done and said, but just because of the quality that the Russo brothers have brought, I can't even imagine it.
I think this was a whole pioneering thing that we started the show by saying took over 10 years, and change is jarring. So like, you can't just do it all at once, and it's possible that each of these people came in for their season and needed to go for the evolution of the series. Like,
that's how it works.
I think as the story started getting and the consumers got more sophisticated, we outgrew Whedon's type of storytelling and his diversity and, you know, all the things that everyone critiques him on. But for that season, he was great and he knew what he was doing. But as things started getting and we started wanting more complicated storylines and more diverse characters, it was like, okay, now it's time to bring in these other people.
He was on the brink anyway. What he contributed to nerd culture or whatever was very much, you know, mid late 90s or, you know, early 2000s, and the Russo brothers were the producers that were, you know, coming over and bringing in the current TV with Community and you know, like the current TV culture. So I think it was all for the best anyway.
More self-aware.
Totally.
Yeah. So Ultron did give us a lot as far as like payoff in the end, because we started to get that serious divide in the Avengers, and that's where that all kind of started to grow.
Yeah.
And then for some reason we ended phase two not with that, but with Ant-Man.
That was a weird ending. And you know what though? I still don't love the movie, but watching it a second time for this rewatch, I was like, it's not as bad as I remembered it being.
I never thought it was a bad movie. It was one of those that I just saw and I was like,
eh.
Okay.
Yeah.
It exists.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Hated it. It's like low on the totem pole for me. It's probably like Winter Soldier's the very bottom.
You're a bitch. Is there anything else? Because I
won't
steal it all
of it here.
No. That's our show, everybody.
I will shut this podcast in.
For real, Ant-Man was easily the worst in my
opinion. Yeah, I think Ant-Man, and I've said it before and I still stand by it, especially now that we've seen Ant-Man and the Wasp. Ant-Man and the Wasp should have been the first one.
There's no reason
for Ant-Man to exist.
Yep.
But so what we got out of that was that Ant-Man exists.
Yep.
And we got Cassie.
Quantum Realm.
Quantum Realm.
That is true. That's where we started to explore the Quantum Realm, not the second one. That is correct. So that ends off phase two, and then we get into phase three, which is what we're in now, and which is easily the biggest. I don't know why this is a single phase.
I know. I saw you say something about phase four like a little while ago, and I was like, we're in phase four. And so, I was like, oh, no, we're not.
Yeah, phase three is Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians 2, Spider-Man, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, and Endgame.
That's how you fucking end a series right there. God damn, they stacked it.
It's the third act.
Yeah.
It was easily the best. I don't think there were no misses with this one.
No.
Everything was gold.
Everything
Civil
was great.
Civil War was a phenomenal movie, if not a bad telling of the Civil War storyline, and a complete change of it.
But it was still a good movie.
It was not Civil War from the comics.
Absolutely not. But
they used, just like Age of Ultron wasn't Age of Ultron.
Right.
Wasn't near Age of Ultron. Yeah.
And that was obviously all of these movies had huge payoff down the line. Yeah. Like that is where you split the Avengers apart and you get the divide that we see in Infinity War. There they have to start to come together again. Doctor Strange. Which I loved Doctor Strange. I feel like it got kind of like mixed stuff, but I really enjoyed it. I just rewatched it the other day. Still really good.
Mm-hmm.
People were like ragging on Benedict Cumberbatch's American accent, and I thought it was fine. I was like, I didn't hear anything wrong with
it. Yeah, I was just watching it. It seemed fine to me.
And then you mentioned like all the controversy with the Ancient One. And, honestly, I think all that came down to like, if you're going to cast a white person to play the Ancient One, I honestly think what it came down to was that they couldn't cast like an actual Tibetan actor because they didn't want to piss off China. And they're like, we know that the Chinese market is our biggest demographic and we need to not make them angry.
It was political.
I was like, yikes. Sure. All right.
And
that was a choice.
They made sure to explain it. And all we know is she's Celtic.
Yeah, she's Celtic. And that, like, there have been, you know.
And that it's a title passed on.
One big thing from there, though, Wong, they removed him from being Doctor Strange's, like, servant and aide to him being damn near, like, an equal.
Oh, is that what he's in the comics?
Yeah, in the comics he's...
That was a good move. That was a good move for them.
Yeah. Everybody should read The Oath, though, by Brian K. Vaughan. Incredible story.
Oh, I like Brian K. Vaughan.
Mm, so good. Two Guardians, issues, too.
Yeah. That's Guardians it. 2, I think, was phenomenal. I think that was so much better than the first one. Not that the first one was bad, but Guardians 2 was so good.
I
see you making that face. What is that?
I was so let down by it. I had high hopes.
Was it because of ego?
That was one of them, because I love Kurt Russell as an actor. Mm-hmm. That was one of the big things. It felt too self-indulgent to me. Like, I just felt like they were like, James Gunn, do whatever you want this time, everything. And it was a little less oversight, a little less editing. So some things were a little too gratuitous. Some things, like with the baby Groot and the... Like getting the eye and all that stuff. I love Baby Groot, but I don't know. Some of it just all was a little. And then the father son thing and them like throwing the ball and all that. That was a little too.
Come on, Chris. I think that this is why it was one of my favorites.
Really,
you got the cats. I think it was supposed to be.
Like, it was supposed to be like way over the top because that's how it was. That's how Star-Lord's. That's how Peter Quill sees it.
Totally. And it was. I mean, like everybody who worked for, I get. It's just some of those things were just a little too on the nose for me personally. But how it set with everybody, I think it was dope. I loved more than that. I loved Yondu's relationship.
Yeah, with Star-Lord.
That's the whole dad thing.
That was
it's tied into the main storyline. That's the thing from the beginning that I liked. It was so good. I think if we want to talk about moments that we cried or whatever, that was the closest I got to maybe shedding a tear.
I think
was Guardians I'm Mary 2, Poppins, like right around that time.
That's what made you cry. Mary Poppins.
No,
when he came in to save. Yeah, no, his death scene was like whatever. But when he came back and felt that moment of pride, like that's when I feel like they made the connection. And then when he died, it was just a cherry on top. But I started crying at that point.
No.
I think Guardians 2 is one of the most emotionally impactful movies in the entirety of the MCU. I spend like 90% of that movie in tears.
Did you, when you were talking about Baby Groot, are you talking about the opening?
No. Well, the opening, too. I couldn't stand the opening.
I couldn't stand it. All right, on three, table flip. 3, 2, 1.
Couldn't stand it. And James Gunn, like, choreographed all of that. Like, I couldn't stand it. I was like, okay, I get it, but you're like, yeah, he's dancing. I could have left it.
That,
but I get it.
That embodies the series to me. It's good music with action and comedy all rolled up into one with like a kind of a scummy lead character.
Trash Panda.
Like a band of misfits that do the right thing at the end of the day. I love it.
The line, I mean, obviously there's a lot, but like the line that gets me every time is that like, it killed me to put that tumor in your mother's head. You realize what actually happened.
I love the song that they come in there, the Fleetwood Mac song.
I
used to not like Fleetwood Mac.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan. They were just existed, and that song I really didn't like.
Was that
Break the Chains?
Oh, it was. That's right. Yeah.
And as soon as all that emotion happens, that thing starts kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
Now every time, now I got to hear that song.
The use of the music again was second to none. Yeah. That's really like, if anything, James Gunn is an incredible DJ.
Yeah.
So
he's the sickest Spotify.
He's really good at being that guy that says, "Hey, have you heard the song?" And then bam.
Exactly.
So off of Guardians 2, if we're kind of thinking more about, you know, what exactly was established, I think the most important thing that it established would be probably Nebula's desire to kill Thanos. It kind of sets all that up. And her mission to go do that. And then something that we haven't even seen pay off yet, but all the Ravager clans.
True.
And then the big one that gets together with Michelle Yeoh and Sylvester Stallone and all those people. Like, I think
Miley Cyrus.
I think that is going to be what we eventually see the payoff from Guardians 2 be, even though we haven't seen it quite yet.
I would like to see
And then
that.
After that, we go into Homecoming. Mm-hmm. So we finally got our new Spider-Man, which is a movie I did not want to like. I was mad about this movie. I didn't want this movie. Okay. And then I saw it and I was like, fuck, it's good.
Yeah, that was good.
I just didn't want a third Spider-Man.
Oh, okay,
in
the
span
you.
Of 10 years.
Right. I was okay with the third Spider-Man in the span of 10 years because they weren't going back to the beginning. It was, we already know who he is. This is now, he's gone. He's fight Captain America. He's fight the kid from Brooklyn. Now he's back at home, and he's a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He's not going off. He's not going into deep New York. No, he's sticking around the neighborhood.
We're not
going
to watch Uncle Ben die again.
Helping old ladies, yeah. Not watching old Ben.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton.
Oh, he's a great villain.
Good villain.
Yeah.
That plot twist.
And that was right around the time where people were starting to get on Marvel about, like, your villains are becoming one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he came in, and that whole ride in the car.
That was good. That was really good. That was where my rewatch today was. So I rewatched Spider-Man just today, and it's so good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's good.
And this is the first time I've seen it since I watched Spider-Verse.
Okay.
So I didn't realize who Aaron Davis was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, his uncle. Miles Morales' uncle.
Yeah, yeah, that Donald Glover is the Prowler.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Didn't get that until
there was
this time.
A huge online campaign for years.
I know, for
him
to be Spider-Man. And they're like, no, we're going to cast another 20-year-old white kid.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I guess that's the direction you want
to
go.
I think it's funny that he was the voice of Miles Morales in the cartoon.
That's right.
And then when it came to Spider-Verse, they ended up getting the kid from Dope. I mm-hmm. figured they would have just went with him again. Maybe he was busy. I don't know.
So we went off. So Homecoming gave us
Spider-Man.
Gave us Spider-Man. Gave us the introduction of Spider-Man. So that in and of itself was the setup that we got from that movie. We got a look at him being accepted into the Avengers, even though mm-hmm. he declined. We got to look at the Iron Spider suit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We got to look at him and Tony's relationship, mm-hmm. which I really like.
Yeah, it's the only reason the Endgame thing was so emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good because we have seen these two grow in the movies already.
And like the proud dad. Yeah, mm-hmm. it was. And like the proud dad moment, you know, kind of thing that Tony takes on. Even when like in the phone call, he's like, you know, my dad never really said anything to me, so I'm trying to break the cycle, and mm-hmm. like, I'm proud of you, and you did good. Yeah. And he's like, it's like a throwaway conversation because Peter's trying to like get him off the phone and like deal with shit.
Right.
But so that was kind of what we got out of Homecoming. We moved from there into Ragnarok. Where we find out what's been going on with Thor and the Hulk the whole time. We get Valkyrie.
Movie.
Really good movie. Pretty really good. Saved Thor.
Yeah.
I think in the eyes of most fans.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It just took a lot of what was working from Guardians and threw it into the Thor world.
I remember the first time I saw the trailer, I thought, like, everybody was, like, out of their minds with the Ragnarok trailer. And I went, this is trying way too hard to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, it was. 100%. Yeah, 100%
like,
was.
Like, you went with, like, the old school music over
old school
it.
Music.
Super colorful.
Colorful.
Like, I was like, Tone this down.
Best part of it was that it basically took one of the best Hulk stories. It robbed Hulk of one of his best storylines.
Yeah, Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk.
I feel like besides Hawkeye and Black Widow, maybe, Hulk is the one that kind of got screwed in this whole MCU.
Yeah, we just don't see enough of him.
We don't see enough of him. And like anything that's cool about him gets brushed over.
I was gonna wait to talk about it, but it's all because of the licensing deal that they or the distribution deal that they have with Universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So since Universal has to distribute the movies, they have to go through Universal through the distribution, and since they don't want to cut the check because Universal don't want to play fair, they have to keep inserting little bits of Hulk into everybody else's movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That so makes we sense. And Ragnarok gave us Hela. Who I loved.
Another
was a
great
villain,
yeah.
The movie was hella good.
They started like, that's terrible. They started like really upping the villains at that point. Like, Hela was amazing.
Yep.
At that point, like, I was kind of over Loki again at this point. You know,
yeah.
He
yeah.
was there, but.
Oh, he's alive again.
He's alive again.
What?
Oh, and now he's a good guy.
Oh but no, he's a bad guy again. Yeah. That trickster.
I'm over it.
But what's dope about it is they turned it on its ear, and Thor didn't fall for none of the bullshit.
Yeah,
this time.
That's
yeah.
true.
I like the that they took him to hell too, like you get to see that aspect
in the beginning
when he was with that demon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You talking about when he was with Surtur?
Yeah. Where was he?
No, he was just with That's just where Surtur. That's just Surtur's lair.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't hell. Yeah, that was just that was just Surtur's lair. Yeah.
Which was first glimpse that we saw. Like, okay, this is a different Thor movie when he's like on the chain. He's like, oh, hang on, coming back around.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, all right.
We that crown on your head.
Yeah. That so tiara.
So out of Ragnarok, we got Valkyrie, who we'll see again.
Yes.
We got the destruction of Asgard. We got the ship that they all escape on, which is where we see Infinity War pick up.
Getting the Tesseract back out of the throne room as well.
Taking the space stone back.
Korg.
Korg and Meek.
Korg and Meek.
So after Ragnarok, we moved into Black Panther.
Yeah.
Another three good villains in a row.
So good. Another Killmonger.
Killmonger, yeah.
Best villain in the MCU.
Holy one crap. Of them.
By a fucking mile.
Super yeah. good. Super, super. Well, better than Thanos?
I think he's... It depends on how on you par. Define it. I think he's mm-hmm. on par. I okay. think the thing that's great about Killmonger is that he's relatable and that you mm-hmm. can understand... what why he's doing what he's doing and right. it makes sense and there's a point to it and like well, they try to do the same thing with Thanos but Thanos still comes off as just like a fucking psychopath because he's trying to commit genocide.
I mean Killmonger still comes off of as a
he
psychopath.
He is. He's a psychopath yeah. as well but like he's more I feel like relatable. He's
yeah.
more understandable.
The dad storyline like got, really sold
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah 100%.
But like he was just phenomenal.
Yeah, he was real good.
And Black Panther gave us at the end, at the very end, gave us Bucky back.
Yep.
And the White Wolf.
The White Wolf.
Which I'm very, very happy for.
Yeah.
My
that
boy.
That's dope. Love Sebastian.
We got
Stan.
The entire, like, we got the introduction of Black Panther. Well, the true introduction. As
right.
After Civil War, we get to actually see him. We get to see Wakanda. We get to see their yeah. technology that's going to come into play.
Yep.
We get to see Shuri, mm-hmm. who I feel like hopefully we'll get to see play a bigger role going forward.
Hope so.
And then right off the back of Black Panther, we had Infinity War.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is such a great movie. And it was there was so much to it. I've said this before, like the only issue I had, it wasn't with the movie itself. It was with the fact that like there's no
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
There was no at the end of the movie, there were sad parts. But I, there was no part of me that was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? No, because we know there's six sequels
exactly.
coming out.
Exactly. We yeah. know Black Panther has a greenlit sequel. Yeah. We know Doctor Strange has a greenlit sequel. We know Spider-Man. These motherfuckers
these
are all coming back.
They're coming
yeah,
back.
Yeah, but so, I don't see that. I think that's, we know that just as moviegoers. You think they're going to end all those franchises
no,
right
I think
there?
What killed me with it, and I think what killed Bub too, is like they shot themselves in the foot with the emotional impact of it.
Yeah, because it had zero. It should have been a very emotional thing. Not so much like, oh my God, what are they going to do? But like, holy crap, this is insane. Like, shit just got real. But I'm like, shit didn't get real because they're coming back. I know they're coming back.
So yeah. So when Peter Parker died.
So that was the one that got me, and it was only because of
like,
his.
It's still emotional in the moment. Like, when I'm in the theater and I'm watching it, I'm. Crying
yeah,
my eyes
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's what
but
it's supposed
when
to be.
I
that's
take
what,
yeah, 5 seconds and I go, oh, they're all coming back. It doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, a movie's identity lives within that minute it starts to the minute it ends. It's not supposed to be self-aware of how you all feel at the end of the day.
Really.
That's a you thing.
Not really, because the other Marvel movies, there was a lot of like, oh, crap, like how is that going to play? Like, what's going to happen next kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, within the confines of the universe, not necessarily minding what's going to happen outside, like what movie's coming out next and... The human error that what Marvel executives are talking about.
The film is just
telling you a story.
It's
right.
the same thing that's going to kill me with Endgame because it bothered the shit out of me that they announced all their Disney Plus shows like 3 weeks before Endgame came out. Like, just wait 3 weeks to tell us Wanda and Vision are getting a show, Loki's getting a show, Falcon and Winter Soldier are getting a show. Because you're going to be like, oh, they could be a prequel. It's not going to be a fucking prequel.
It's the same thing where it was like,
wait 3 weeks.
Then the posters came out. And
yeah.
the posters
you
are,
guys are
the
too
colored.
Nerdy.
It's like, I don't want to know this much.
Guys,
I want to find out
but,
in the movie.
But how much do you really know, though?
So, like, with the posters, you know who there was the
who
ones that we know for sure.
Well, that's what we're going to go over next.
Yeah.
Oh, you
guys, I was going to let you finish, but anyway.
I was just, okay, Kanye. we know that we know definitely who died and who survived. But then there were those
what ifs.
Shuri, Pepper. Like, all these that were like, oh my God, like, okay, did they survive? Did they not? We need to know because...
But how does that give away the plot, though?
It's still... It's not necessarily the plot. It's like a... It's,
that one
I will grant
a big
you,
one
it's a minor thing in the grand scheme of things because you look at it and you're like, okay. So I know they're right. But to me, it's not going to have that, like, moment when you see them on screen.
I think that's part of it because, like, just because you know someone is alive or dead, and especially when there's so many people, doesn't necessarily give away how we get from A to B. And that's what really what a story is, right? Like, I mean, even if you look at the traditional storytelling, you're like, okay, you know, there's got to be the issue, there's got to be the conflict, the hero has to fail, the hero has to find out how to overcome it, and then the final,
right.
like, we all know how stories go for
right.
the most part, but how you get from A to B, because otherwise we wouldn't read very much, we wouldn't go see very much,
right.
because all of, like, the major stories are pretty much the same. Endgame, though, or excuse me, Infinity War, turn it on its ear, because I guarantee
no one thought that it was going to end with Thanos.
I mean, I assumed because once they split into two movies, and I was like, okay, well, like, I was not in the least surprised when Thanos won. Because
what was weird, though, what I heard from a lot of people that aren't necessarily like us that know everything.
Right.
Is they didn't know that it was two parts.
No, because exactly.
Because they changed the title. It used to be titled Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. Yep. And when they changed the title, people didn't realize they were seeing part one of a two-part story.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Kind of
pay
like,
attention, people.
Yeah, like Corey was saying, that's the other thing. We know so... We are the 1% that know so much more than the general audience.
Right.
And there's only so much that they can do to protect... Because leaks get out and stuff like that. Like, we know stuff that we ain't got no business knowing.
Yeah.
So
going out of Infinity War, now that Webb just said he doesn't like knowing who lived and who died, we're going to talk about who lived and who died.
Yeah, perfect.
Wait, what about Captain Marvel?
What do you mean, what about her?
We didn't talk about the movie.
I know, we're not done yet.
Oh, we're not
done.
Okay.
We're still on Infinity War.
Oh, Infinity War. These are all notes about Infinity War? Okay.
This is just the list of people.
All right.
Yeah.
So, who got snapped? We saw Doctor Strange, Wanda, T'Challa, Sam, Bucky... Most of the Guardians except for Rocket. So Star-Lord, Mantis, Drax, Nick Fury. Not a Guardian. We moved on. I was going to say that.
Gamora died earlier.
Gamora died earlier. Oh. Yeah. I almost called him Peter-Man. Spider-Man.
Peter-Man.
Groot, Shuri, Wasp, Hope Van Dyne, and her parents.
Shuri? Did we know? Like, was that in the movie?
No, it was in the posters.
So it was in the posters. And then I think she was one of the ones where...
they said too spoilery.
What?
Oh, that's where you're going. There was an interview that the Russo brothers did shortly after the movie where people were asking, like, you know, we're going to ask you if somebody was snapped or not. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, we'll tell you yes, they were, no, they weren't, or it's too spoilery to tell you. And at the time, they said Shuri was too spoilery to say.
Okay.
And then we did eventually find out. So Shuri, Wasp, and her parents, Hank Pym, and I cannot for the life of me remember her mom's name.
Feels like it's Vivian.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, wait, that is Janet Van Dyne.
Janet, thank you.
Janet, not Vivian.
And then Loki, Gamora, and Vision all died pre-snap. And then later, confirmed by the Russo brothers, Lady Sif got snapped, Betty Ross, and Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah, actual he's Matt gone. Damon?
No, oh, wow. the actor he played.
actual Matt Damon.
Matt Damon exists in the MCU and he's dead.
MCU Matt Damon. I don't. Why wouldn't he?
So that's everybody who snapped. And then the ones that we got confirmed as alive are Iron Man, Cap, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Hulk, Iron Patriot, Thor, Captain Marvel, Valkyrie, Rocket, Nebula, Ant-Man, Pepper Potts, Happy Hogan, Okoye, and Wong. And then confirmed off-screen by the Russo brothers was Aunt May, Nakia, and Howard the Duck.
Yes, Howard the Duck made it.
And the Russo brothers even talked about this in an interview about them struggling. And, like, granted, they were talking about more of the trailer, but they were talking about their struggle with the Marvel marketing team on, like, okay, we understand we want to market, but we can't give too much away in the trailer. Like, we want to keep things
secret
for the trailer.
So are you saying there's too much in these trailers that have been released?
I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Okay. There definitely is not. They're just trailers, people. Like, you can watch them. Don't let these two influence your life decisions.
I'm just saying.
Influence.
And then unconfirmed by the Russo brothers because they said that these were too spoilery to tell us whether they lived or died. We had Korg and Meek from Ragnarok.
Okay.
That's too spoilery?
That was too spoilery.
Oh, my God. They're the ones that killed Thanos. Confirmed.
Shuri, who we now know is dead, and Jane Foster was too spoilery. Which, motherfuckers, give me Jane Foster Thor. That's all I can hope for.
Or Jane Foster Valkyrie.
No, Jane Foster Thor. I don't want Jane Foster Valkyrie. I want her to be Thor. Like she's supposed to be.
You want them to bring back
Natalie Portman.
Amidala?
Yes, I do.
Or
Padme.
Yes, I do. But do you think she will come back?
No. I don't know.
That's going to be a recast.
I know. No. I want Natalie Portman back because Natalie Portman was criminally underutilized in Dark World. Like,
I feel like she
wasn't. Her character was not good in that movie.
Oh, that's like, what you mean by underutilized. I was when you kept saying that, I kept thinking that you meant she wasn't in it enough, and I watched it. I was like, she's in damn near every single scene, Emma. What
no,
more do you
just,
want?
Like, they just diminished her character a lot in
yeah,
that movie, and it bugged the shit out of me. So, coming out of Infinity War, that's who we know currently is alive and who's dead. There's a lot to unpack there.
They definitely got all like the OD characters out of the way.
That was kind of what bothered me. Is like at the end of Endgame, what you had were the originals. Like, we just went back 10 years and gave me the original. Like, what? Why'd you kill everybody new?
I always think about the scene. It cracks me up to this day. Speak about going back to the OGs. Yeah, that scene in the Avengers when, like, okay, Hulk is here. Everybody's here. Iron Man's like, all right, Cap, what's the play? And, like, they do that. The camera does, like, that 360 spin, right? And you have, like, Iron Man has his repulsors ready. Cap has a shield. And then, like, you have Hulk growling. Thor has the hammer. And then, like, even Hawkeye knocks an arrow and, like, gets ready. And then you have Widow with the tiniest gun put a new clip in. I'm like, how is that going to kill a Chitauri? Like, give her something. Like, have her pick up a weapon or something. I think have her something.
SNL did a good one with Hawkeye.
I love that one.
When he's like has a little tiny, you know, bandolier, whatever you put your bows and arrows in. They're like, how many of those did you even bring? He's like, well, it holds 6, but 8 if I could really jam them in there.
And they're like, yep, 8 of those kills were mine.
Yep.
So we're going to come back to Infinity War since that's the big one, but going in release order, after that we had Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I felt like was a weird thing to release after Infinity War, but I guess they just kind of made do with the release schedule they had.
I think they were also trying to lighten things up a little bit because it was such like a definite and like not, it was such a somber ending. I think they wanted to put out another comedy movie to kind of infuse it, and they needed to remind everybody, like, hey, we accidentally did Ant-Man in the Quantum Realm too long ago.
Yeah.
So just in case you guys forgot, there's Quantum Realm again. And by the way, Wasp, she kicks just as much ass, if not more, than Ant-Man.
And that was why I watched this movie, and I was like, I'm completely fucking vindicated. This should have been the first
this
one.
This should have been the first one.
100%. You did not need the first Ant-Man movie for this one to exist. It was so much better. The pacing was better. Hope was better.
The villain.
Ghost, right? Was her name?
Yeah, it was Ghost.
Yeah.
We got a much better, more in-depth look into the quantum realm in a way that, like, we could have gone into this not knowing what the quantum realm was, not having had that set up from the first one, and gotten this one.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was so good. I love this movie, and I love how much Cassie we get, and like they're laying it
just
on
so cute.
Thick that she wants to be just like Daddy. She wants to be a superhero just like Daddy. Like I was like, I get it. Give it to me. Give me Young Avengers. What is her stature?
Stature.
Yeah, the feeling you have about that side of the storytelling is why I like the Guardians one so much. It's kind of relatable. It's so good.
Yeah.
When you can actually identify with the characters.
Yeah, so the biggest takeaway going forward from that is going to be the Quantum Realm. And then our latest one was Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Which gave us Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yep.
The
she's
savior.
Save everybody.
She's going to have a big piece of the puzzle.
She's going to save everybody. Savior of the
universe. I'm so excited. She's the strongest one.
She is.
I don't know. Not if you ask Chris Hemsworth.
Holy crap.
He's laying it on pretty thick. He thinks Thor's the strongest.
That look in her eyes in that interview, like, I know that look.
I
felt that look.
I've seen you give that look.
I honestly think they don't like each other.
And that's the thing. Is like, At first I was thinking, like, okay, this is like another gimmick thing. Like, they keep having what's his name, like, do spoilers. And it's like, oh, Hulk?
Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, he accidentally left his phone on Instagram Live, like, all these, marketing things. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, is this, like, a marketing stunt? Is this, like, an allude to something in the movie?
Or is this just really awkward?
Or do they just knock it along? And you have Don Cheadle, like, in the interview next to him, like, sitting there thinking, like, son of a bitch. Why do I keep getting in these crazy
interviews? For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, there was an interview that came out the other day of Don Cheadle, Brie Larson, and Chris Hemsworth. And the interviewer asks something about, is Battle of the Sexes some kind of stupid...
Which is a weird question.
Some kind of just stupid bullshit.
It was a bait question.
It was dumb. It was a lazy, stupid question. And Brie Larson's like, oh, well, there's not really, like, a competition because, like, I'm the strongest, so it doesn't matter. And Chris Hemsworth got, like, very defensive tilted. About it. He got very... It was really awkward.
Yeah.
And, like, canonically, she's right. So why are you getting pissed off? Like, just chill, man. It's a really awkward interview.
Well,
it's like
in his
30
contract,
seconds.
It says he's the most powerful superhero.
I'm sure it does.
There's the power scaling happens on both sides. When he gets the power of Odin, he's more powerful. When she goes binary, she's more. It's comic books. Like, they're both OP. Yeah, I mean,
the same
it wasn't something that... they needed to talk about or fight. It was stupid. I'm honestly disappointed in both of them for even like taking the bait that from that
troll question.
Yeah. It's Entertainment Tonight. That's what they, y'all don't watch Entertainment Tonight interviews. You've been interviewed by him before. He always baits everybody. I can't believe they took it. And it just looked so weird. I'm like, yeah, man, come on, y'all.
And that interviewer is the only one that won.
Yeah, he's the only one that won.
Yeah. Like, we all lost.
Yeah.
But so that takes us, to the ending credit scene of Captain Marvel where they're the pager goes off and they're like, you know, I wonder what happened. And she fucking shows up. She's like, what
Where's
did you
Fury?
Do?
Yeah. Fury.
What did you do? What do I have to fix?
Right. people started disappearing in front of me. Then I get a page from Nick. And when I show up, Nick's not here. What did you guys break?
Right. Yeah.
She's going to fucking come up here, clean up everybody's mess.
Yeah.
Whoop some ass.
Can't wait to see what happens.
So it's going to be a thing. I'm so excited. By the time you're listening to this, it is Endgame week.
Yeah.
It's Endgame week.
Endgame week.
I'm so excited. I could cry and vomit and just die.
We are in the golden age of content, and we're in the middle of a fucking Game of Thrones season. The finale. Another 10 years of content buildup. So we've been doing a podcast on our Patreon. Patreon.com/videogamebang, where you could get our thoughts and reviews on all of the Bang of Thrones stuff. And it's $1. All you need is $1, and you get access to all the episodes as they come out. We have one that we did that was a lot like this episode, where we just broke down where everybody was, kind of learn about our fandom, and then we get into the nitty-gritty on episode one, which there was so much to unpack, even though people are saying it was a slow episode. If it was slow, it's because you're slow, right? That's what I want you to tell your friend, your dumb friend that says that, and then show them our podcast. Say, these guys called you slow, pay them $1, listen to this hour and a half. This was a unit.
One. It was a long one.
Yeah, I had to edit that bad boy.
It was a lot of tea.
Yeah, it was a lot of tea.
I hate both of you.
Spilling that tea.
No. We're all too old for this.
Well, I mean, the three of us definitely are. Unfortunately.
Even I am.
All right, everybody. That is our show. Thank you guys so much for listening and checking us out. Make sure to hit up iTunes, Google Play, wherever you may find podcasts, and give us a 5-star review. You can also check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/videogame_bang. Make sure to check out the live streams so you can see the animation of our faces and how Emma left me hanging twice out of three times to give me a high five during the show. Yes. And you can see her hit me.
I got a high five from Emma on Good Day. Good Day Sacramento. I think it was because she was flustered with the lights and maybe the moment got to her.
No, it's because I thought you were trying to high-five Webb, and he didn't notice, and I was like, I'm not going to leave him hanging on live TV.
You did that for me?
I was like, this is going to be real awkward.
What a freaking hero.
I didn't want to be associated with that kind of awkward.
You know, if you would have left it, it would have been a meme. It could have been a meme moment.
You were almost a meme, Corey.
Yeah.
You were this close to becoming a meme.
I was.
His lifelong dream. I kept him from that. That's the real
reason. Yeah,
that's the real story.
I was
going to
say, she just got confused. The lights were bright. She saw a beard. She thought it was me, so she gave a high five. Emma, no idea what your stream schedule is like.
Not a fucking clue.
Not a fucking clue. All right. Curtis.
Once I stop having dying? Some sort of, death coming over me, I'm going to... Definitely, because it's in game, so I'm about to be reading tons of comics on my stream, so y'all come through and check me out. I'm about to get real nerdy on some Infinity stuff, so if y'all want to nerd out.
Curtis getting nerdy?
Curtis got no, right? Like, when does he ever? But
Shocked. I am shocked.
Hey. I'm shooketh.
Hey, I'm blowing minds over here with my nerdiness. But no, come check me out. I'm going to be reading some more comics, some Infinity stuff. It won't be spoilery because they already said in Endgame they're not following any comic book storylines. They had to create an original story.
Yeah.
So it's special. So come check me out.
Corey, Bachelor is still not on, so you are not streaming.
No,
I'm not. But you have a shock event coming up on May 5th at Berkeley, right?
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo. There's going to be a huge event if any Bay Area... listeners, if you like Overwatch, it's going to be the biggest party that we've put on yet. It's super ambitious. A couple thousand people, I think, crashing this place with free pizza and like cosplay and all that crazy stuff. So
May the 4th at Oblivion Comics Coffee, we are hosting our second trivia night. So go ahead and find them on Facebook. Sign up for that on the Facebook event. And that is the show. So for Emma Skies, Curtis Fisher, Corey Vincent, I'm the Road David Webb saying see you next time.